Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, April 28, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're back in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Golden Knights are in the playoffs by the skin of their chinny chin chin. They just barely got in. They are the last seed, the eighth seed, playing the number one seed, Dallas. And they went back to Dallas and beat them two games in a row in Dallas. And the people in Dallas, they just pissed them off. And they were booing him. Poor Mark Stone, the captain, he got booed every time he touched the puck. Boo, boo, boo. You know, what's this boo shit, you know? And we won both those games. Then we come home, and everybody, oh, come home. Now we're in T-Mobile. Now it'll be over in four games. That was the worst hockey I would have, if I was the rest of the team, not the goalie. The goalie, they have a term in hockey when the goalie really is spectacular. He stood on his head. Logan Thompson stood on his head. He was absolutely phenomenal. It was the greatest game he's ever played. The rest of them should have put on skunk hats. They stunk the place up. It was bad, bad, bad. The difference between Logan Thompson and me, after the game was over, I'd line up my players in front of me and shoot them all. And say, let's go to the draft and get some new ones here. But that's why I'm not Logan Thompson, and I'm not. But what are they going to do? I don't know. They've got a big game tomorrow. If it goes 2-2, they may not win the first series. But if they win that one, they might do it. Anyway, God doesn't give a damn about hockey. There you go. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 sounds like this so far. Therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know or to understand about the sin nature except through the Mosaic law. And then he goes on and says, for I had not known coveting. Now that's the King James. We always start with the King James. This is the conjunction gar with the enclitic particle te plus the pluperfect. Hear that? Pluperfect. We don't have a lot of pluperfects, but we got a pluperfect here. The pluperfect active indicative of oida with the objective negative uk plus the accusative singular of epithumia. Now we have the conjunction gar, but what is the key here? It's used with the enclitic particle te. So we got gar plus the enclitic particle te, gar te. Now that means a new translation. When you have gar plus te, it's correctly translated for indeed. For indeed. And then we have our old friend oida. Oida, O-I-D-A, oida. And as you've heard this, we've had this so many times, oida is the frozen form, and it means to know. When it's in the perfect, it is the perfect used as a present tense. And you translate it, you learn the Word of God in the past with the result that you know the Word of God now in the present. That's when it's in the perfect. But it's not in the perfect, is it? I said pluperfect. When it's a pluperfect, as in our verse, then it is a pluperfect used as an imperfect. The imperfect says, up until that time that Paul learned about the sin nature with its lust patterns. That's the pluperfect. With the objective negative uk, Paul absolutely would not have known about. And what would he not have known about? Epithumia. Epithumia, epithumia. And epithumia, it can mean desire, and desire can be in a good sense or a bad sense, but it's used here in the bad sense. It can mean longing, and longing can be in a good sense or a bad sense, but here's the bad sense. And it means lust, and that's probably the best way to translate it, lust. And it refers to the lust patterns of the sin nature. The sin nature is made up of an area of strength, an area of weakness, and lust patterns, and this is the lust patterns of the sin nature. Therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic law sin? Emphatically not. Meganoita. On the contrary, I would not have come to know or understand the sin nature except through the Mosaic law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, and then except the law had said, thou shalt not lust, or thou shalt not covet in the King James. This is the conditional particle A with the negative may, once again, and plus the nominative singular of namas, again with the definite article, and the imperfect active indicative of lego, and the future active indicative of the verb this time. Not the noun was epithumia, the verb is epithumeo. So the conditional particle A plus the negative, if not, ha namas, the Mosaic law, if the Mosaic law had not legoed, if the Mosaic law had not said, and lego, first of all, means to give expression to orally, and may be translated to utter in words or to say or to tell. But secondly, it means to give expression in writing, as in our verse. And specifically, this refers to the Decalogue of the Mosaic Law with special reference to the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not lust. And then we have the verb epithumeo. So this is the verb. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-E, long O, epithumeo. And epithumeo again means to desire here in a bad sense, to long for in a bad sense, to lust. It refers specifically to the lust patterns of the sin nature. The future tense is the imperatival future. Imperatival future. And this usage, the future tense carries the force of a command, or in this case, negative, a prohibition. And this is also common in English, in the English language too. You all learned that in English grammar, right? English future often does also. The active voice, the Mosaic law, performs the action of this command with the objective negative uk. It is a negative command. It is a prohibition. And the indicative mood is declarative, dogmatic, and absolute truth of the Word of God. You shall not lust, the 10th commandment. So therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature except through the Mosaic law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, if the law had not said, you shall not lust, the 10th commandment. So turn over to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, the Decalogue. Exodus 20, verse 17, we have the 10th commandment. Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet, lust for your neighbor's house. You shall not covet, lust for your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox. Don't ever lust for his ox. Or his jackass, the donkey. You lust for May, Daria will shoot you. Or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. See, that went on all the time there. You don't have many oxes or donkeys except for Daria. She's right in there. She rides her donkey and wins ribbons all over the place, goes all over. So, one, Paul discovered the lust patterns of the sin nature through the Mosaic law. Paul discovered the lust patterns of the sin nature through the Mosaic law, specifically the 10th commandment. Exodus 20, verse 17. 2. The lust patterns of the sin nature desire what belongs to others, to people, lust for people. Property, lust for property, lust for possession, lust for authority and power, lust for approbation, want to be people to tell you how great you are, lust for recognition, or anything that belongs to others. So the lust patterns of the sin nature desires what belongs to others. 3. Having discovered lusts through the Mosaic Law, the Apostle Paul became cognizant of the first marriage that occurred at physical birth. The sin nature as the first husband, the unbeliever as the wife. So having discovered lust through the Mosaic Law, Paul became cognizant of the first marriage that occurred at physical birth. Sin nature is the first husband, unbeliever is the wife. Four, the Mosaic Law declares to the unbeliever that you have a bad marriage, Codex number one. Five, then the Mosaic Law points to the solution, Codex number two, through revealing Jesus Christ, Christology and soteriology in shadow form. So again, our verse, Romans 7:7. Therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic Law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature except through the Mosaic Law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, if the law had not said, you shall not lust, the 10th commandment. All right, well, let's take a look at the doctrine of lust. Point one, definition. First of all, lust is the overwhelming desire for something. The overwhelming desire for something. Two, lust is an illicit, uncontrolled, overwhelming desire. An illicit, uncontrolled, overwhelming desire. Three, lust originates from the sin nature. It's a part of the essence of the sin nature. Lust patterns. A part of the essence of the sin nature. Four, and lust seeks to gain the cooperation of your free will, your volition. Because your volition is the guardian of your soul. The sin nature lives in the members of your body and sends up temptation, 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 temptation. But you have a guardian of your soul, your free will, your volition. And so you decide. You can make good decisions. When the temptation comes up, you say, no way, Jose. Because your sin nature is Mexican, see. No. No way. Temptation comes up. No way. No. You keep under the filling of the Spirit, living the spiritual life, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You got a free will. But if you, from that free will, say yes, well, you just turned your own soul over to the sin nature once again. But it's up to you. You can either make good decisions to say no, or you can make bad decisions to say yes to the temptation and sin. So lust seeks to gain the cooperation of your free will, your volition. Two, the old sin nature has a threefold essence. It has an area of weakness. The area of weakness is the source of temptation and personal sin. That's the area of weakness, the source of temptation and personal sin. It has an area of strength. And the area of strength is the source of all human good and evil, human good and dead works. Works produced by the energy of the flesh, but not works produced by the filling of the Spirit. And third, it has lust patterns. So area of weakness, the source of temptation and personal sin. Area of strength, the source of all human good and evil and dead works. And the lust patterns. Three, the lust pattern of the sin nature includes several categories of lust. Power lust, you lust for power. We find it in every area of life. We certainly find it in a political arena, the lust for power. There is pleasure lust. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So pleasure lust, lovers of pleasure, rather than, instead of, in the place of, lovers of God. You see, pleasure lust is a destroyer. It's a destroyer of virtue. It's a destroyer of honor. It's a destroyer of integrity. Pleasure lust prevents the believer from developing personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Timothy 3:4 is saying. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Rather than personal love for God, rather than personal love for Jesus Christ, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, instead, in place of that, you're lovers of pleasure. So pleasure lust prevents the believer from developing personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Pleasure lust causes the believer to flunk the prosperity test of momentum testing. Now, there is nothing wrong with pleasure. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. As long as that pleasure does not distract you away from living the spiritual life that God has for you, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as long as it doesn't distract you from having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, specifically personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. So we have power lust. There's pleasure lust. Third, there's sexual lust. Sexual lust. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage, the divine institution of marriage, should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So sexual lust. And this includes the sexual sins of degeneracy, as mentioned in Romans chapter 1, such as homosexuality, lesbianism, Operation Sodom and Gomorrah. This includes the sexual sins of evil, such as the Faley cult. This includes the sexual sins of crime, such as rape and incest and pederasty and prostitution and pandering. All of these come under sexual lust. And then there is approbation lust. You lust for people to praise you and tell you how great you are. There is monetary lust, which is really greed. There is chemical lust. And chemical lust includes drugs, drug addiction, but it also includes alcohol. Alcoholics are functioning under chemical lust, the abuse of alcohol. There is crusader lust. And crusader lust is Christian activism. Got a lot of that going on today. Civil disobedience. Got a lot of that. Crusader lust includes paramilitary organizations, vigilante activities, anti-Semitism. Boy, we see that going on in college campuses all over America. Crusader lust. The refusal to pay taxes. Terrorism. Socialism. All of this is a part of crusader lust. There is also revenge lust and criminal lust. So the lust pattern of the sin nature includes power lust, pleasure lust, sexual lust, approbation lust, monetary lust, chemical lust, crusader lust, revenge lust, criminal lust. All right. Well, we're not done with this epithumeo and epithumia and the lust patterns of the sin nature, but we're going to pick this up again next week. And by the way, next week is the Lord's table as well, next week, with our heads bowed. Father, we are constantly amazed at your fantastic grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.